Welcome once more, most sincerely, to this, the Lord's Day Assembly of the Church. I submit to you once more, there is nothing like the Assembly of the Church, whether it is on the Lord's Day or some other day, the Assembly of the Church. And to think that there are many people who never know what you and I know about it, who never see what you and I see about it, and so today, I talk to, I preach to most fortunate people. God bless you. God bless you. I might rehearse to you with you briefly. You know, when I was coming here for the meeting and it was scheduled for quite a while, Brother Irvin Waters died and his wife and children and family called and asked me if I would come. Oh, I had this meeting here and I was not going to miss it if I could help it. And I want you to know, I want our visitors to know today how great you were, how unselfish you were. This is what you told me, Don, in essence. You go and we will take care of things. And so I had to miss two nights in order to go, and I was able to. And had you told me not to go, I would not have gone. I really wouldn't have, because I am in your debt, and I always will be, for this meeting. I'd heard only good things about Longwood, Florida. Only good things. And you know what? Since I have been here, I have only heard good things. That's right. That's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it must be. Indeed so. So, we had Brother Irvin Waters' funeral yesterday. 101 years old. I had known him for 70 of those years. He had baptized my dear precious wife when she was just a girl. Baptized her for the remission of sins. He was in his 20s then. And I heard some wonderful things about him yesterday. In the biography, it mentioned that he had been responsible for establishing, Damien, 50 congregations in the state of California. Want you to think about that. And then a post came out the other day from a dear friend. And who knows what she is talking about, Don? I know of Christians in the state of California today who would not be in the Church of Christ had it not been for Irvin Waters. And so yesterday, with the thunder rolling, with the lightning flashing, with wonderful rain falling, we said goodbye to my brother. Wasn't a perfect man. I'm not either. And I've been looking now for 92 years for a perfect man. And I'll tell you, Dan, I've not found him. I don't say that to be critical. I just say that to be realistic. And so if you people here at Longwood thought you were getting for this meeting a perfect man, you were deceived. He's not. And so I stand before you today with a grateful, grateful heart. Our first song today was led by Damien Wood. And it was, as you may remember, our wonderful king. What a wonderful song that is. Damien, you don't know this most likely, but your dad led that song last Lord's Day out home. His folks are members of the church at home. In fact, Damien, after I baptized him some years ago, he baptized his own dad. Isn't that great? I'd just like to pass that on, Damien. And then later on, when Damien and Pam married, I was asked to do the ceremony. And so we did it. We had the earthquake, and we couldn't go the regular way because the interstate had buckled. And so we, just went around, and we took care of things. I find, you know, with the Lord's work and with whatever you're doing for the Lord, you know, He makes a way. And it might not be, you know, the most comfortable sometimes, but nonetheless, here it is. So thank you, visitors. Visitors want you to know now, I have not heard any gossip since I've been here. And this is the way I like it. Don't gossip to me. Please, please, please. And if you hear me gossip, call my hand. Let me know. Ah, Don, no, you don't do that. You don't do that. Anyway, I am so happy, thrilled here today to be here. The Lord's been good to you. He's been good to me. And I'll tell you, he's better to me than I deserve. Yes, he is. Better to me than I will ever deserve. I don't know what today I would do without Jesus Christ, who today I have good friends along the way, but I don't like how I have a friend like him. He's the best friend I've got. He's the best friend my kids have got. And that, you know, one day, a long time ago, he died for my kids. He died for you, he died for me, he died for yours as well. And so as the eternal ages roll, I'll never, never unceasingly be able to thank him adequately for what he's done for my five kids. That I would die for this morning and you would do the same for yours. I know. And so today we come together to remember him. Yes, we do. We come together to worship him. And I'm going to just review with you before we come to this, our lesson that's on the board. And, I could just preach on this for a week, I guess. I'm not going to do it. I don't have the time. You don't either. And I'm going to just this morning, and I will just be able to touch the hem of the garment this morning. And then this afternoon, we will continue. I want to talk to you about the one another principle of the New Testament covenant scriptures. One another. Sweet words. One another. Could I just simply briefly now give you a brief synopsis of what we're going to do and about this one another principle that we read about in the book? Well, one another. You know, you're parts of one another. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. You know that? That's why you and I can hurt one another so deeply. It's because we're part of one another. You know, when our brothers and sisters decide to leave us and go their way, it always breaks our hearts. And it gives us, I think, an indescribable feeling. And I think one reason is because I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. And whatever affects you, adversely or otherwise, affects me, adversely or otherwise, one another. So we'll touch on that. So this is one of the principles that we will notice, yes, one another, and then love one another. Ah, I will touch that this morning too. Won't be able, you know, to delve into it too deeply and conclusively, but you love one another. Regardless of what comes or goes, you love one another. And then judge not one another. This is one of the principles. Judge not, that is, you know, condemn not one another. Condemn not one another. And then serve one another. We'll notice that also as we, we will just touch on these things. We'll just have time just to do that. And then, I love this one. Be kind one to another. You're always kind. I'm not. I'm sorry. I told them yesterday about Urban Waters. I was not always kind to him. And I'm sorry about that. Always will be sorry. And I've not always been kind to my kids. Have you? Well, you know, be kind one to another. Wonderful, wonderful. So, one of the principles. And then, forgive one another. You forgive? Sometimes we have to forgive one another, don't we? Oh, sometimes folks have to forgive me. I have to forgive too along the way. And, you know, that's one of the things, that's one of the principles here that's been a little difficult for this weak man along the way. Forgiving, you know. People say things they ought not to say, do things they ought not to do. You know how it goes along life's way, and people don't mean to be mean. They don't mean to be, you know, disgraceful. They don't mean to be that way. But sometimes you have to forgive. And sometimes you have to forgive, you know, the hardest things. Forgive. Forgive one another. And then comfort one another. I saw that yesterday. People comforting one another. Wonderful. Comfort one another. And then consider one another. Consider one another. And then also... confess your faults one to another. What a principle. Confess your faults. Ever have to say, brother, sister, wife, children, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for doing that. Yes. Confess your faults, your sins one to another. And we have this promise. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. And that cleansing right there, according to the original term, is continuous. Continuous. It just goes on and on and on. As long as we commit these sins along the way, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, what a blessing is the blood of Christ that takes away my sins, that takes away your sins, that takes away the sins of my people, that takes away the sins of the church. Confess your faults, yes, one to another. Be of the same mind one toward another is another one of these principles. And then edify one another, exhort one another, admonish one another. And then the fellowship with one another involving God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, my brother, my sisters, yours as well. Well, the one another principle as it is, if you please, the principle of the new covenant scriptures. We will notice it a little more thoroughly as we move along, but I want to talk to you now about the worship here this morning. And you know, I worship this way, the way I'm going to worship here today. I obeyed the gospel, you know, something like nearly 80 years ago, and I wouldn't have, it's been, what a trip. Oh, what a journey, what a journey. I would not have missed it down here, oh no. When I think about it, it would have been so easy for me to have missed it. When my own forebears came here from Ireland in 1720, they came here as very religious people. They came here as Cumberland Presbyterians. And they were Cumberland Presbyterians until down to my dad, who was sprinkled, a Cumberland Presbyterian baby. And later he heard the gospel. He obeyed the gospel. Ah, oh, don't you like that? He obeyed. His father had been, raised. His father happened to be one of the so-called elders in Cumberland Presbyterian congregation where he is buried now in Waldron, Arkansas. He was one of their elders. And anyway, here's my great-great-granddad. Anyway, concerned about your kinfolks? I am, and I love them. You know, things, blood runs thicker than water, doesn't it? We've heard that all along. And, I agonize over the fact that, a lot of my people, you listen to me, please, and don't misunderstand me, a lot of my people weren't members of the Church of Christ. And if I dwell on this too long, I will break my voice, and because it touches me so deeply that so many of them have gone on, and they were good people, good neighbors, good friends. Yes, they died out of Christ, not members of the church. And I just wish everybody was a member of the Church of Christ, don't you? I wish everybody. I know that's not realistic. I know today that's not the way it is, but this is the way I feel about it. Anyway, my people, as well as maybe yours too, they didn't worship this way. They never knew, and they lived long lives, and they never saw the table like it is today. They never worshiped like you and I do. And so today, I'd like to just say to you, brothers, sisters in Christ and friends, that you are most blessed that somebody showed you the way. Somebody, some preacher, some teacher, some maybe your wife, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your brother, your sister, and showed you the way that we worship the way you do it. Why do we do what we do here the way we do it? I think that's a good question. Why do we do what we do here the way we do it? There's a reason. Well, we come together, we sing, make melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's where it's done. That's where it was done in the book. Absolutely. So that's the way we do it. And the singing here is so pretty. And you were just so wonderful to lead every verse today. And, that's one of my biases, one of my, prejudices along the way. Anyhow, thank you for that. And then the prayers that were prayed, did you... Listen, you have a problem here sometimes when it comes to worshiping the Lord publicly. Do you have a trouble sometimes? Keep your mind on your business. When you're singing, you just sing by rote. You just mouth the words. And when a man is praying, do you listen to him? Or are you thinking about something that's bothering you? What is it, Maybe I'm the only one that has trouble along these ways. Maybe I'm the only one in this assembly that has a problem here when we're singing to just let my mind wander, and think about other things. Shame on you, buddy. And then when a brother's leading a prayer and doing the very, very best he can, he's addressing the Father. He's doing that in the name of Jesus Christ. He's not just, saying words. That's not it. And then my weakness is just let my mind wander and maybe think about some problem I need to solve tomorrow or today, or maybe my tax problems or something like that. You know, and this brother's praying to the God in the assembly of the church. I said to you a while ago, there's nothing like the assembly of the church. So do you have a problem there? How about at the table? Sometimes do you forget, oh, I'm doing this in remembrance of the one that loved me and died for me. What is this loaf? This loaf is the body of Christ. Has to be one. Can't be more. No more bodies than one. So this is right here on the table today. One body. However you look at the body of Christ, there's one. Think about that. The number one. How very, very inviting and wonderful is the number one. And that's one reason why. You know, you think about the worship so reasonable. So reasonable. And I love reasonable things, and you do too. It's so reasonable that we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. All of us can do that. We all don't have to have an instrument. We can just sing as we sang this morning, making music, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's the way Paul would put it when he wrote to the church at Colossae, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And I'd like to just sort of expand on that briefly as I pass this morning. It was the church of Christ at Colossae. It was the church of Christ at Ephesus. Yes, it was. You really believe that, preacher? That sounds dogmatic to me. That you would say he was writing when he wrote the Colossians, that he was writing to the church of Christ at Colossae. Sure he was. Ephesus? The church of Christ at Ephesus. Those seven churches in, that you read of Asia Minor in the second and third chapters of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ writing them. He called every one of them the church. And every one of them at about two or three had lots of things wrong with them. He still lived among them. How can you as a preacher, and Jesus Christ set this example for us. How can we as brethren just isolate ourselves from one another? Oh, we can't do the one another principle. Indeed so. Well, I'll tell you. Well, the church of Christ then, Corinth. The church of Christ at Corinth. Preacher, I would like you to say that. Well, that's the way it is. You know, Church of Christ at Corinth, the Church of Christ at Rome, Romans, the Church of Christ at Rome. You know, all of those letters were written to, not the world, written to the Church of Christ. That's right. Oh, preacher, that is too exclusive. You need to be more inclusive than that, preacher. No more, than the book is. And so, the way we worship here today does matter. We worship the way we do here, not to be contrary, not to be different. It may be different, but that's not the reason. So we come together to sing, to pray, to preach, to teach, to give of our means, and to come to the table where there is on that table this morning, I know, one loaf of unleavened bread. I've not seen under that cloth. I don't have to see under that now. I know you folks. I've never worshipped here with you before, but I know you folks. I know that you know how to set the table. I know that you know how to spread the table of the Lord. And this morning, don't forget, this is the Lord's table. And Don McCord, weak man that you are, you have no business ever trying to change the Lord's table. Who do you think you are that you would bring things to that table he doesn't bring? You take things off there that he's put there? Who do you think you are that you would do that? No. That's the Lord's table, you see. So I am, limited there. I don't dare take things, and put there that he didn't put there, or take things off that he put there. That is the Lord's table. I tell the world today, this is the Lord's table. Who are yonder? And I love you, but I must be this critical at least. Who do you think you are? That out there. You can change the Lord's table. It ceases to be the Lord's table when you change it. No. So I'll tell you. Well, I want to take you to something that a brother some years ago wrote, and I asked him one time. He's gone on now. I asked him, I said, can I read that, you know, sometime publicly when I'm preaching or trying to make a point or something? Can I just have your permission? You can read it anywhere you want to, Don. Doesn't matter to me. You know, if you want to do that, you do that. And so anyway, I do this. So some years ago in Wichita, Kansas, you know, my dear sister here, she knows quite a bit about Wichita, Kansas, Mary. Anyway, Wichita, the building was opening there. And so this is what this brother wrote in honor of that. And so this was in September. It was September 26th. It was 04 is when this was. And this is Glenn Bray, this man that wrote this. Glenn, what a man he was. He was, I think, the best bass singer I've ever heard. As a boy in high school in Heildon, Oklahoma, he'd take, you know, number one prize bass soloist. He'd go then to, you know, county. He would take first place bass soloist. He'd go to district. He'd take first place soloist. State of Oklahoma, he would go first place bass soloist. He's the kind of a man in the assembly. This shows one of my weaknesses, I guess, I know. I'd be sitting behind him and Donna, his wife, and I would hear Glenn singing with his mellow bass voice. And if I were not careful, I'd just stop singing and listen to Glenn. And that wasn't what I was there for. I wasn't there to listen to somebody else. I was there, you know, to praise the Lord in my singing too. But he was just so captivating. His voice was, his singing was, his outstanding, outstanding. Oh, the man would have, I know, done well in the Metropolitan Opera because of his, you know. Anyway, this is what he wrote, and he wrote about today. He wrote about, you know, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Listen to me. He says, you know, they saw no fancy cars outside the door. Not that that was wrong, but in those days, no fancy cars outside the door. No lovely carpet on the floor. That's not right, you know, and all right. But they didn't see that way back then, Acts 27. No light switches on the wall. That wouldn't have been wrong either, but. No needed restrooms down the hall. No room in which for babes to cry. No room for coffee, roast, or pie. No. No microphones to help, you know, them hear. Though some may have been dull of ear, they only came with grateful minds, expecting none of these things to find. With a cup of the fruit of the vine on the table spread, with a loaf of unleavened bread, they worshiped the Lord as he had said. How sad, ah, how sad, with all he's given us, that we should ever fret or fuss. Or all these things that mean the least, such as the lights switch on the wall, the carpet on the floor, the cars outside the hall, that we should, you know, fret or fuss. Or all these things that mean the least when we come together to keep the feast before us. Well, I want to take you now to, and I'll not hold you too long this morning. I get on a roll sometimes as preaching. I have a hard time stopping. And even crying babies have a hard time stopping me. You know, I tell folks with crying babies, just be glad they're here to cry. Music to my ears. Had five of my own. Used to nearly stand on my head trying to control them to keep them from out trying to out-preach the preacher. Anyway, and I would fall flat sometimes doing that. Mother would fall, you know. I'd take one, she'd take another. We had five, you know, two in diapers at one time, that kind of thing. Anyway, we wouldn't have missed it. What a journey. And anyway, well, you know, this wonderful one another principle. Yes, you know, Paul wrote about this, and he wrote about it many, many times. I don't know why he didn't talk about this first principle we want to notice this morning, and most likely the only one I'll get to today, love one another. He, in every letter he wrote, but one, whether it was to Timothy or to Titus or to a church, one of the churches of Christ, whatever it was, he wrote, there's just one church he did not mention it to. And I was wondering this morning, why was it that Paul left out Philippians, in Philippians, mentioning this, you know, this one principle, love one another. I got to thinking, you know, I love Philippians. When I'm discouraged and down, and I am that way more than you may know, one of the things I do is just to sit down and read Philippians. It just has that lifting power or something to me, Philippians does, and I don't recommend it above others, for sure. But then I was considering this morning, why did he not mention love one another, this, you know, principle right here of, you know, the covenant, new covenant scriptures? Why didn't he mention love one another? I don't think he had to. I don't think he needed to. There's so much love in Philippians. There's so much that means this great, wonderful, expanding on this great, wonderful principle all the way. I don't think he had to, and he didn't. And I don't know, you know, if he were talking to me today, he might say, you don't know what you're talking about. I had no idea about that. But anyway, maybe he did. I don't know. But anyway, I just don't find, you know, love one another. I don't find that in Philippians. I find that every other place. Sure do. Every other letter that he wrote. Well, I think that is a good statistic. I like the statistic, really. And so Paul mentioned in all of the letters, you know, but the exception of Philippians. And then there was, you know, James and Peter and John and Jesus, the Master. All of these writers talked about, you know, love one another. And I love to think of these writers, you know, Jesus Christ is my elder brother. He's yours as well. He's our Savior. He's wonderful. Oh, I can never tell you how great he is. And you can't tell me either. It's beyond us, you know, to, you know, really say how great and wonderful he is. Anyway, you know, I love to call Paul, Brother Paul. I love to call Matthew, Brother Matthew. I love to call Luke, Brother Luke. I love to call Onesimus, Brother Onesimus. Yes. All of these, you know, brother. They're my brothers, yours too. Members of the same church we're members of too. Don't forget that. James, member of the same church you and I member of. Oh, you mean the Church of Christ? Absolutely. You know why? Only one in existence. Don't be ashamed to say that. Preacher, don't be ashamed to preach that. I know that some people, some of my precious kinfolks, don't like for me to say that. And I try to reason with them. Well, nothing wrong with that. Well, I just, you know, you're excluding me and I believe in that. No, I don't intend to do that. That's not the point at all. But I want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. I know you do. I'm not going to be, and I haven't been, I won't be. Well, I'm going to just, I won't stop thinking and praying and hoping that someday you'll be a member of the Church of Christ, because I want everybody to be a member of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed, preacher, to preach that. Don't be ashamed, teacher, to teach that. Don't be ashamed to tell your kids that. Don't be ashamed to tell your in-laws that. Don't be ashamed to tell your in-laws' parents that. You know, well, anyway, I know there's a limit to those things, but that you love one another. Well, before I notice that one, though, I want to notice members one of another. I'm a member of you and you're a part of me. That's what Paul would tell some people one time. I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. You know what? As a member of the church today, you're a part of me. You're a part of me. Sometimes my brothers at home and other places too, they drift away. They drift away. Nothing anybody says or does that will bring them back, it seems. And I tell them, you know how it hurts me that you do this? Is because you're a part of me. This is true with my children. This is true with my wife. This is true with, you know, us as members of the church. You and I are parts of one another. That's why we need to be real careful how we treat one another, how we, you know, love one another. You're a part of me and I'm a part of you, and we can hurt one another. Certainly my wife could hurt me. I could hurt her. I can hurt my children. The children could hurt me. This is true with all of us, I think. But I'll tell you, to have a brother, a sister, to just leave us dry. wondering, why have you left us? I have people today all over the United States of America who have left. And I just stand off absolutely in questionable awe. Why did you do this? Why are you where you are? What can I do to help you get back? Why did you do this? Why are you where you are today? And I don't get an answer. You don't get an answer either. All of us have this along the way. I know. But oh, yes, you're a part of me and I'm a part of you. And you and I can, that's one reason why we can hurt one another. We really can. So Paul would say, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Don't you like that? We are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You get it? Many make up the body. But listen, everyone members one of another. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for he says as members, for we are members one of another. I'm a part of you and you're a part of me. I'm a member of you and you're a member of me. Wonderful. One another principle. Well, love one another. Listen to John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is our best friend saying that. You love one another as I have loved you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. John 15:17. 1 Peter 1:22. See that you love one another, and you love one another with a pure heart fervently. These principles happen to be of the heart, deeper than the flesh, happen to be of the soul. Yes, the depths of a very being. This is the message that I've heard and that you heard from the beginning. 1 John 3:11. What is it? That we should love one another. Just over and over. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. 1 John 3:23. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John 4:7. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love, 1 John 4:8. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, though, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 4:13-32. That you love one another. I know that you know, most likely, where I'm going to take you now. I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 13. Paul is writing here to the church of Christ in Corinth. Yes, he is. Brother Paul, member of the church, writing as an apostle to the church of Christ at Corinth. And, you know, he says, in verses 1, 2, 3, I'm not going to read those. I will be through with us here in about 5 minutes, and it's going to take us beyond 11:30. I hope that's all right with you. And then we'll continue later. But I'm going to notice with you in these few minutes, I'm going to notice with you, Lord willing, Lord being my helper, I'm going to notice with you about 16 descriptions that we find. What an array of distinguished writers. I've already suggested that qualified writers wrote about love, and there's Christ, and then there's Brother Paul, Brother Peter, Brother John, and Brother James, Brother Jude, Brother Matthew, Brother Mark, Brother Luke. You know, they talked about these things. They talked about these things quite strenuously. And so, love, a most preeminent Bible theme, absolutely. Well, this kind of love. Description number one, patient. Love is patient. Don McCord, in your impatience, remember, son, love is patient. Remember. Yes, protracted endurance of wrong. That's what it is. Long-tempered. Grows only in trials, they say, under undeserved affliction. Love is patient. Love is patient. There are parts of the book, you know, that I had to read to myself real often, and this is one of them. I oftentimes read at the resurrection side of my precious wife, who I buried there over 10 years ago now, and those were yesterday. Never got over it. Never, expect to. She's my wife for 60 years nearly. Gave me these five darling babies, and she's my wife, stood by me, and tried to, you know, be mom and dad too while I preached the gospel and all of that. And so anyway, I oftentimes read these words there, you know. Sometimes I read them out loud, and I recommend that. But anyway, love is patient. And love is kind, good-natured, tender, affectionate, pleasant, gracious, when maybe this week you're provoked. Maybe this week, man, when you're provoked, and I may be provoked. When I'm provoked, I need to remember these particulars about, you know, love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Be kind. Love does not envy. Love does not envy the green monster, you know. Love does not envy. My brother preach a better sermon than I. I will not be envious of that. Leads, the church better than I. I will not in any way feel bad about that. Has a better job than I. No way will feel bad about that. Raises his children better than I. Will not feel bad about that at all. This is, envy. And love does not envy. Love does not envy. Has a better house than I. Good. Yes. Climbs the ladder of success higher than I. It's all right. Love. I don't feel bad about that. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not haughty. It's not arrogant. Not display. I mentioned this yesterday. Urban Waters, he was a master at the English language. I've known lots of linguists, and I've never seen a man more in this pulpit, and man-to-man, person-to-person, I've never seen a man who excelled him when it came to the use of the English language. And one time he was, I was upset at him, he was upset at me. I mentioned that yesterday too, and I apologize for that. Anyway, he said, Don, you're a little bit haughty about this. Oh. And he could look you right in the eye and tell you that, and that's all right. That's what I need sometimes. And he'd say, you're not as humble as you ought to be. Oh, well, okay. Okay. You're a little arrogant sometime, Don. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. And so he just said this to me, a few words, and this way he could use the language. He said, Don, arrogance in the habiliments, that is the clothing of humility, is arrogance still. When I first read that, I laughed. I thought that was so funny. It still sort of strikes me funny. Don, arrogance in the habiliments of humility. Not arrogance, not humility anymore. It's still arrogance, regardless of the humility that you're trying to put around it, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's done me a lot of good along the way. Anyway, love, is not, does not boast. It's not haughty, not arrogant, not arrogant. Love is not proud, high-minded, overestimating self, understanding, misunderstanding others. And, love is not rude either. Love is not rude. No resentment, no bitterness, no grudge-holding. Nobody today that I cannot look right in the eye and speak to and shake their hand. And sometimes I'm snubbed. Are you ever snubbed? It always takes, just about all you've got to really, be forgiving and, not to, feel bad about it when people snub you and maybe will just, want to shake your hand and won't speak to you, that kind of thing. You ever had that experience? Well, I have along the way, and it's never done me any good. It really hasn't. Maybe it's humble to me. I don't know. But anyway, love is not rude. It's not rude. There's nobody I won't shake hands with today. Nobody. No man. Regardless of what he's done or what he's not done, if he'll shake hands with me, I'll shake hands with him. And I'll hug his neck if he'll let me. I'll plant a holy kiss on his cheek. And regardless, I just don't hold grudges. I just won't do that. Won't do that. I'm too old to hold grudges, you know. I'm a sunset. 92 years old. I'll be 93, May 20th. And, as you grow older, it's really dangerous to get too old because you forget. I do. My own children very sweetly, like when they knew that I was coming here for the meeting and that I was asking you if I could leave here and go take care of that funeral and then come back. My sweet daughter who, I have one daughter. My four sons, I'd die for them. I love those men. Oh, I love them. But there's something about that daughter who's a young widow now, retired school teacher now, lives well in the country by herself, not well. Nobody like her, though. There's just something, I guess it's this instinct that we men have for our daughters. They're just special, and we're going to be protective. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But Jenny, if you have a daughter, you know what I'm talking about. And she said, Dad, I don't want to make you feel bad. And I know that you want to take care of the funeral. I know that you want to go to that meeting. I know that. But Dad, you're 92. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that. But maybe somebody needs, mother's not here anymore to remind you. So maybe I or maybe one of the boys should every once in a while say, remind you of that, because it may be that you just forget that. Well, really, in reality, I do. I just do pretty much what I've always done, been pretty, resourceful and that kind of thing. And so they think, that I'm really overestimating myself. Well, maybe so. But anyway, thing that we call love, you love one another and they love your children, they love you. And anyway, nobody I won't shake hands with, nobody won't. At this age, I just cannot afford to be otherwise, Well, so love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. That sort of, challenges me sometimes because I am, I am part Irish and Choctaw Indian. And when you get that mixture, trying mixture sometimes during being a Christian, being, part Choctaw and part Irish and part Scotch, it just sort of, taxes you along the way. So love is not easily angered. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Have a brother. He's gone now. I'd go into Missouri and I'd go knock at his door to invite him to my meeting close by. And, he didn't like to see me come. And I'd knock on that door. I wouldn't call him later when I was coming. No. No, I'd just go to his door and knock on his door. He opened the door. Hello there, brother. I'm here to hold a meeting. Don, I know you're here to hold the meeting. And you're here to ask me and tell me to come to the meeting. I'll tell you right now, Don, before you enter the store, I'm not coming to the meeting. Oh, well, all right. I don't know that you could be any bolder than that. And I just talked to him, and he told me, he said, I've got a record of wrongs. I've got a sheet of paper that long. And you know those folks, most of them, there, and I've got their name there, and I've got all the things they've done to me and others. And, I said, Lee, most of those folks are dead. Most of them are dead. I know those folks. I knew those folks. You did, too. Anyway, they're not going to, take you to heaven. They're not going to borrow you from his door either. No, sir. It'll be thee that'll do that. So I'm just here to ask you to the meeting. Well, I'm not coming. Don't expect me. Well, I'd tell Levi, and he'd be sweet, and I'd say, buddy, I'll see you again. When I'm here, I'm going to come knocking at this door. I know you'll come knocking at the door you always have. That's all right. I'll just tell you what I believe and what I want to. Anyway, I'd leave. So, anyway, he's gone now. But love, Lee, does it keep a record of wrongs? You better tear it into smithereens. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. And, when right and truth prevail, it's great. Love always protects. It will protect your name. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. And when all is said and done, love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete. comes to an end, love. Well, love one another. You're parts of one another. I'll start here at, and it's about 22 until I must stop. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You don't know what you mean to me today. That you sit here and listen to me do what I love to do, and that is preach the gospel. You don't have to do that, but you do it. Thank you. Are you not today a Christian? Come obeying the gospel, won't you? Come believing. Mark 16:16. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. Confess Christ before these dear people. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, go into the waters of baptism and be immersed. Immersed, baptized for what? For the remission of sins. Raised to walk in newness of life. If we can help you, if you're a Christian, and maybe you need help in some way, however it is, while we stand and while we sing.